A couple of weeks ago, we looked at Psalm 37. This morning, we're going to look at Psalm 73. And these are kind of twin psalms. They deal with very similar themes, but in a significantly different way. Psalm 73 was written by Asaph. And as you read this psalm with me this morning, you will understand why I've entitled this lesson, "Keep Calm Even When You're Frustrated with God." Just pay attention through this psalm. It's unbelievable. "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They're free from common human burdens. They're not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts come iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, 'How would God know? Does the Most High know anything?' This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments." That's a pretty intense section of scripture of somebody who's expressing frustration with God because he said, "I've just wasted my time trying to do right because the evil don't have any problems." Verse 15, "If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand." In case I don't emphasize that enough through this morning, that's an incredible verse. In the midst of Asaph's angst with God, he says, "Yet I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you'll take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it's good to be near God. I've made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds." Wow. What an honest, gut-wrenching passage of scripture. I'm so glad God included it in the Psalms for us. And if you really want something interesting, read the Message paraphrase of this, verses 2 through 5. "I nearly missed seeing God's goodness. I was looking the other way, looking up to the people at the top, envying the wicked who have it made, who have nothing to worry about, not a care in the whole world." Verse 11, "What's going on here? Is God out to lunch? Nobody's tending the store. The wicked get by with everything. They have it made, piling up riches. I've been stupid to play by the rules. What has it gotten me? A long run of bad luck, that's what. A slap in the face every time I walk out the door." Frustration with God. You may have not been that eloquent in expressing your frustration with God, but I have an idea that each of us has had a time or multiple times in our lives where we said, "God, where are you? Don't you see what's going on down here? Don't you care about what's going on down here? Where are you? And when we get frustration with God, this psalm gives us some insights, some lessons into how we are able to keep calm, how we're able to maintain our faith, even when we're frustrated with God. Lesson number one is that we get frustrated with God when we take our view of life from what we see and experience. And I'm going to repeat that because I think it's key. We get frustrated with God when we take our view of life, and you could really even say our view of God, from what we see and experience. For Asaph, it was the prosperity of the wicked. He said, "My feet had almost slipped. I nearly lost my foothold when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." And he's very eloquent in his description. They don't seem to have any problems at all. They don't have any health issues. They don't have any financial issues. They've just got it made. And he envied the prosperity of the wicked. And I left a little section in your notes, and you can download those notes by going to the link in the comment or description section that asks, what's it for you? What is it for you that has frustration with God? And maybe you looked at that little section in the notes and said, you didn't leave me enough space. Because we all have those times when we've been frustrated with God. Was it when you did the right thing at work and it ended up costing you your job? Was it when you went the extra mile for somebody and tried to really help somebody and they stabbed you in the back? Was it doing everything the right way at work and the jerk that goes on everybody else's work and doesn't do anything got the promotion? Maybe it's prayers you've been praying for years and years and you still don't seem to have an answer. We all have challenges in our lives that, if we're not careful, will put us where Asaph was, when our feet almost slip. Because one of the great challenges for a person of faith is to maintain our faith when everything that we see and experience is telling us God, if he does exist, doesn't care. Or if he cares, he either can't do anything about it or he chooses not to do anything about it. And the temptation is to feel what Asaph felt. I'm wasting my time trying to live right. And he uses descriptive words in verse 2. My feet had almost slipped. I nearly lost my foothold. It's the picture of somebody carrying a heavy weight and losing their balance. You ever been in that situation? You had something and you didn't have it quite balanced right, and you found your knee buckled and you almost lost your balance. That's what he's talking about. And let's be honest. Sometimes life will do that to you. Sometimes the challenges of life will cause your spiritual knees to buckle. And Asaph said, that's where I was. My feet had almost slipped. That's why constantly the scriptures remind us we live by faith, not by sight. That faith is being certain of what we don't see, Hebrews 11 tells us. So we get frustrated with God when we take our view of life out of what we're seeing and experiencing. But lesson number two is trying to make sense out of life apart from God leads to oppression. Verse 16, when I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. Verse 21, my heart was grieved. My spirit was embittered. I was senseless and ignorant. The Message says, verse 16, when I tried to figure it out, all I got was a splitting headache. And in verse 21, the Message says, beleaguered and bitter. When you try to make sense out of this life apart from God, and apart from faith, it will lead to oppression. It will lead to a splitting headache. Please try to stop making sense out of the tragedies and uncertainties of life apart from faith. Now, let me do kind of a lengthy paraphrase here, parentheses here, and take you to Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. When God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So as the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." I was mulling over that, and it hit me that most believers, we know that God will take care of us. We just don't know how he's going to take care of us, and that's where the struggle comes. We know that he'll take care of us. We just don't know how. A quote came across my feed this week, purporting to be from C.S. Lewis, something along the lines of, "We know that God is working everything for good. We just don't know how much that good will hurt." It's like, we know that God's going to take care of us. We just don't know how. And I think a lot of us are wired up that we want to know how things fit together, how things work. And even though we know God's ways aren't ours and his thoughts aren't ours and his thoughts are much higher than ours, I don't know about you, I still try to figure him out. And, I like to, on my job, I want to know, all right, why am I doing what I'm doing? You've got to show me how what I'm doing fits in with the big picture. You've got to show me how what I'm doing impacts what this person's doing, which allows the company to do this. Then I'll do whatever it is you want me to do, morally and ethically. But I like to know how it fits. God is under no obligation to tell me how it fits. He is under no obligation to tell me how he's going to work it all out. And, I have that additional challenge as a pastor or a chaplain with so many people asking me so many questions that begin with why. And I don't know why. At least I finally figured out I don't have to know why. And I can be honest enough to say, I'm sorry, I don't know why. If I knew why, I would have written a book about it and have been really wealthy. But I don't know why. And I don't have to know why. I just need to trust that God is going to take care of me, and I have to trust how he's going to take care of me. The children of Israel are in a desert and they need water. If I had been on the water search committee, I would never have suggested talking to a rock. But God knew what he was going to do. And that leads me to make this statement. God knows what and how and when. And we need to learn to trust him. Trying to figure life out apart from that faith in God will drive you mad. Faith says God knows what he's going to do. He knows how he's going to accomplish his plan. Christmas is coming up. I always have a hard time at Christmas time not preaching on the phrase "in the fullness of time" and looking at how God orchestrated everything throughout history to get to the right moment to bring Jesus into the world. He knows what, he knows how, he knows when. Now, I'm not suggesting that we be lazy and not use our brain. If you need a job, typically God doesn't drop one in your lap while you're sleeping in your recliner. You need to make the applications and work your contacts and, do all of those things. But while we're doing it in faith that God knows best and he's leading us to the right answer at the right time. So what has Asaph taught us so far? We get frustrated with God when we look and evaluate life based on what we see and experience. So we need to learn to live by faith, focus on the invisible. And the second thing he's taught us is that trying to make sense out of this life apart from God and apart from faith leads to oppression. So we just need to trust that God knows what we don't. Lesson number 3, verse 17. Take your frustration with God to God. This whole psalm shifts dramatically in verse 17. In verse 16, when I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. Verse 17, until I entered the sanctuary of God. And that one phrase flips the whole psalm. And he tells us how to keep calm when we're frustrated with God. Take your frustration with God to God. The Message said, when I entered the sanctuary of God, I saw the whole picture. And the word sanctuary there, the sanctuary of God, goes back to the fact that God is sovereign. He is in control. And we are there to worship him and to serve him. And we need to remember God is still in control. Get to the sanctuary. Get to the presence of God. When you're going through challenging times, that's the time to get closer to church, not further away. When you're going through frustrating times, that's the time to spend more time in the Word, more time in prayer, not less. Get to the sanctuary of God. Because when we get to the sanctuary of God, a couple of things happen. We understand the wicked's final destiny. He says they're going to be destroyed, verse 19. They're going to be completely swept away by terrors. Verse 18, you put them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. We need to be reminded this life is not all there is. We need to be reminded God will have the final word. And sometimes we need to be reminded that there is coming a day when God's going to set everything right and judgment will come. Right now, thankfully, God is showing his mercy. He's giving time for people to repent. He's giving time for people to turn to him. But there will come a time, Scripture says, when that mercy runs out and judgment will come on the wicked. And you read the book of Revelation and you'll read about that. So Asaph said, I had to take my frustration to God, and I had to get to the sanctuary. I had to get to church. I had to be reminded of what is truly true. It's Paul's passage in 2 Corinthians 4. This is the Living Bible. We're pressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed and broken. We're perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do, but we don't give up and quit. We're hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. That's why you go to church, to remind yourself that God is in control. And life might have beaten you up and beaten you down all week long, but God is here to lift you up. And God never abandons us. Now, if you're going to deal with frustration with God, I don't know that you can do it without going to Job chapter 23. You know the story of Job. And in Job 23, Job says, if only I knew where I could find him. If only I could go to his dwelling, I would state my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would find out what he would answer me and consider what he would say. This is Job's Psalm 73. This is Job saying, I'm looking around. I'm doing my best to live for God, and I'm having all of these tragedies happening. I wish I could find God so that I could ask him and he could answer me. But if I go to the east, he's not there. If I go to the west, I don't find him. When he's at work in the north, I don't see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. They told me to go to this seminar and it would help me, but it didn't. They told me buy this teaching section and it would help me, and it didn't. And I don't know where to find God. But he knows the way that I take, verse 10. And when he's tested me, I'll come forth as gold. The first thing you learn when you get to the sanctuary is that God's going to have the final word. The second thing you learn as you get to the sanctuary is that God is right here with you as you go through the tragedies and traumas and challenges of life. He is right here with you. Job said, he knows the way that I take. Psalm 73, verse 23, yet I am always with you. There's that verse again. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. Afterwards, you'll take me to glory. Verse 28, as for me, it's good to be near God. I've made the sovereign Lord my refuge. Asaph had to be reminded, you can't take your view of life by what you just see. God is in control. He is invisible. You remember the scripture talks about Moses, Hebrews 11, going through the challenges he did, but he endured because he was able to see him who is invisible. It's when you get to the sanctuary that your eyes shift from the earth to the heavens and you see God and remember he is in control. And then you have that decision to make that Asaph did. I've made the sovereign Lord my refuge. But I want to go back to verse 23 one more time, because this really kind of went all over me last night. I was running over this before I went to bed and try to, you know, go to sleep with these notes in my mind so I can preach myself to sleep like I preach some of y'all to sleep. But he says, I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. I would have thought he said, you hold me with your right hand. Because the right hand in Scripture is always about power. But he doesn't say that. Asaph says, you are holding me by my right hand. Why did he say it that way? What came to my mind is, if right hand is strength, and it typically symbolizes strength in the scriptures, God holding us by our right hand indicates to us that our strength is in God. He's holding our right hand as if he's saying, you don't have the strength to do this. You don't have the ability to get through this. I'm going to hold you and I will be your strength. Doesn't the scripture say, the Lord is the strength of my life. Your strength comes from God. When you're frustrated with God, get to God. Get to the sanctuary. Get to the place of prayer. Get to his word. Get to church and allow his strength to fill you. And one more thing, stay obedient in the midst of the frustrations of life. Back to Job's illustration, verse 11, my feet have closely followed his steps. I've kept to his way without turning aside. I've not departed from the commands of his lips. I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Job is in the midst of his own Psalm 73 saying, I don't know what God's doing. I wish I could find him. I can't seem to find him, but he knows where I am, and I'm going to stay obedient to him in the meantime. Asaph, it's good for me to be near God. I've made the Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. You are the strength of my heart. I will stay obedient to you in the midst of the frustrations of life. We all get frustrated with life. We all get frustrated with God. You might want to live in Psalm 73 a little while. You don't want to live in the first, 16 verses. You're already living there. You need to get to verse 17. Until I got to the sanctuary, when I got to the presence of God, when I got to the place of God, then I began to understand this life is not all there is. There is a spiritual world. God's going to set it all straight one day. And in the meantime, he is with me as I go through this tragedy. You are with me, Lord, always. You hold me by my right hand. You are the strength of my heart. You are the strength of my life. So please, when you're frustrated with God, get to God. Don't run from him. Don't try to hide from him. Pour out your frustration to him. You know, Job went through all this stuff. I mean, Job cursed the day he was born. And you know what God said about Job? He didn't sin by anything that he said. So it's okay to pour out your frustration to God. He knows you're frustrated. It's okay to pour out those frustrations. Take them to him. And when you get to the sanctuary, you'll understand some things, and your faith will be strengthened. Several years ago, we took our youth group to a concert in Evans, and one of the groups that was there was a group of sisters called Barlow Girl. And I'm assuming their last name was Barlow. I don't think they told us, but I think they figured out, you would have figured that out. But they did a song called Never Alone, and it has stuck with me since then. It is a tremendous song. It is kind of a contemporary read along with Psalm 73. God, I cried out to you. I'm not getting any reply, but I'm going to trust you even when I can't see you. There'll be a link to it in the comment section. Barlow Girl, Never Alone. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine on you. May he assure you of his presence with you and give you his peace now and evermore. Amen. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being here today. God bless you.